Welcome to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Lee Breschneider, and I'm joined here by your other host, Mr. Mark Davis.
Mr. Surprise is what they called me.
Did they call you that?
5 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah. We had a little snafu with the recording here,
but caught early.
Thankfully, we only wasted about 30 seconds that time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mark, how about our fantastic guests last week? Aren't I right? Aren't I right? They were fantastic, weren't they?
You are so correct. I was wondering how it was going to go having seven people talking at once, and I think for the most part it worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I like them, though, I like when it's just me and you, you know, less people breathing up all our air.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like when you have house guests and then they leave and it's like, all right, honey, it's just you and me again.
Yeah, now we can settle back into our regular routine.
Indeed.
No, it was great. I teamed up with them last night at Nice Guys. I came out to trivia, and man, they are just no. It's no wonder that they won that anniversary trivia, because we just dominated, basically.
They're a well-oiled machine.
Yeah. Now, I did only participate with them for the first two rounds because, of course,
you sat in for me for the last round.
Just the last round. That's how we do. It was like a tag team.
It was.
We were the fucking trivia legion of doom.
Yeah, and I appreciate you helping me out. Thank you.
What a rush. You remember that? The legion of doom?
I do.
Yeah. Let's see here. Now, the other thing that I wanted to get to before we got into our questions is last week, you said something that struck a chord deep in my heart. You said, I need to talk to you about your categories, what you said.
Yeah.
So what's the beef, man? What's the beef with my categories? There was a tone that was like, your shit's all fucked up, basically. That was what the tone and the way that you were looking at me. You were like, I'm sick of your category shit, basically.
That's not really where I guess how I feel about it. I just don't see a need for categories. I guess if you're trying to have a well-rounded trivia, which is not a bad thing to try and do, then categories are good. But I guess I feel like categories you should have kind of like trivial. I think I have like the Trivial Pursuit view, mm-hmm. where if you're going to have categories, you should probably keep it to like, six.
Yeah, that's where seven. I started with like seven or eight different categories.
And how many do you have now?
Well, that expanded out to about 15 categories, which I still have
at that
and
point
then, but then
Jesus,
even more than that, there's between five and seven subcategories per category. So in music, for example, I have a subcategory of aliases and monikers. So in that category would be like, what is this rapper? So who's Curtis Jackson?
Right.
You know, and then
50 Cent.
Right. And then I'll have an artist and group, which will be like, who did the song Candy Shop?
50 Cent.
Also 50 Cent. You see, so
we're now at $1.
Yeah. And it's basically just to make sure that when I'm plotting out the trivia events, that you don't have those two categories happening in the same night. So there's a guarantee that it's going to jump around in these subcategories. So you're not accidentally getting two questions on the same subject matter.
So this is, I guess, because you and I do our trivia differently.
Yeah.
So now, I guess, for the listener, because you and I think, are pretty different trivia hosts, which is one of the things that I think is pretty interesting. You're a script guy.
Mm-hmm. That's
you're
right.
A voice guy.
Yeah.
I am a non-script, off-of-the-cuff, bumbling idiot.
Yeah, it's not exactly improvised, but you are not as strict with your categories, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not as strict, period, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe in some places, and I guess maybe the trade-off is that my trivia is generally harder, maybe.
Yeah.
As to where
you don't know what you're going to get.
As to where maybe you're more strict on rules and regimented on having a script, et cetera, et cetera. But maybe your trivia is, I don't want to say your trivia is easier because it's not easy, but you tend to give more clues during questions,
mm-hmm.
And things
much
like that.
Much to the dismay of some players. They'll,
yeah,
like
who
Seth,
want it to
Seth
be hard.
Seth will shout out like, stop giving hints. Well,
I've complained a couple times where you've called me out over the microphone like, oh, Mark wants it to be harder. I'm like, because you'll be asking a question. I'll go, oh, I know the answer. And then you'll give a clue in the question that will make it obvious to other people. And I'm like, I want to know this based on the least amount of knowledge possible so that I can get it and other people cannot get it.
And so in those questions, that's the difference between like a 5 point and a 3 point. If I give little hints and it's just like maybe the first part of a question like you're talking about, then that'll be worth more points. But if I need a 3 point question, I need to make it easy because it's an easy rated question. because that's really what it is. I'm trying to look for who is going to have the broadest knowledge in the most steps of difficulty, and that's typically who I think win my events.
Yeah,
you know.
So so you have a repository.
Yes.
Where you have a bunch of questions that'll pop up, and that's why you have your categories, which is interesting. I never really thought of that. Now I custom write my questions each week. Yeah. I do not have a repository. Well, I do. I have like a giant sheet where I keep all my past questions.
Yeah.
But I don't use it for anything.
It's not categorized.
Yeah. Maybe if I have like a week where I'm really, really short, I'm really short on time, I can go back into those annals and I can, you know, kind of pull some questions from them that I haven't asked in 2 years, 3 years. But I guess that's why I don't really have... When I think of categories, I think of it like I have six questions each round. Each one of those questions is going to be in one of these categories. Science and nature. You know, music or art. Sports. You know, like have basically six very generalized things. And the whole purpose of them is to have a well-rounded trivia where you're asking questions that give each team a chance. Three sports questions, three art questions, three, you know, whatever. Yeah. But yeah, I guess it was just like you had a category that was just like fucking, I don't know, some really
business names.
Yeah. I mean, like, what are we like that to me? It would be better if that was just under a grand, thing that was just like a business.
Right. So business is the major category, but I was giving the subcategory. I don't always give the main. I don't usually give the main category. If it's necessary, I'll say this is a music artist and group question. So you're not thinking, or if it's a behind the scenes question, I need to clarify this is movies or television. But when I say it's a business is the category. So I did give it, you know, that time. But that would fall under like branding, basically. Because see, it's a business name. So that's like a brand question. And I will have a brand question for you again today, more oriented in the logos subcategory, though,
okay,
than in the brand. So.
But yeah, so that's my, if you want to call it beef, I would just, it just seemed like it was like.
It's a different methodology.
It's like it seemed like you literally had like 50 different categories. Like, well, at this point, why even have fucking categories? But I guess if you're doing it for the purpose of not. Having like multiple questions with a repository, it makes sense.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's not just the repository, actually. So I've got these categories laid out. This is going to get way too nerdy, but maybe some quizmasters. I know Dallas is a listener. We might have some other quizmaster listeners. This could be some good insight for them. But I have a category map. So when I take a trivia program, I know I'm going to ask like 27 questions or whatever, and I basically go down the side and I will add the subcategories at random. Mm-hmm. So there's usually only maximum two questions per major category. So if somebody comes and they know music, and I ask two music questions, they might have an advantage that night, but the next week there might be two questions that have a category of television, and then it's going to be the television person's night. So I'm trying to rotate, but as you know from listening to the weekly wrap-ups and participating at Three Pepper, usually there's still, I would say the winners have a very broad sense of knowledge to pull from. So it's a way that me as a quizmaster, I'm trying to make it fair and even to everybody that comes regularly. But at the end of the day, the proof's in the pudding, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah. All right. I do. Before we get into this week's questions, though, let's go over our weekly wrap-up. It was Seth who won our Monday night quiz at Three Pepper Burrito Company. On Tuesday night, we had the No-Nonsense Trivia Challenge Horror Movie Edition of Bury Me Brewing. And there, the creatures from the Moist Lagoon took the victory. They had a stunning 134-point victory.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I did ask 18. There was an opportunity for 18 extra points on some side games, side trivia that we had. Which I'll explain a little bit more about later. They beat Five Finger Death Hunch, who had 132 points, and the Sexy Amputees, who had 131 points. There was only a 3-point margin in the top three teams for the horror movie trivia. Congratulations again to Creatures from the Moist Lagoon. On Thursday at number three, Fuck Code Freeze, It's Trivia Night in the Squeaky Chairs, won with 62 points. All right. And let's see here. We had also Nice Guys Trivia on Wednesday, didn't we, Mark? Where we kind of split the co-hosting duties.
Yeah. So I had to cut out. I hate to leave trivia early. I hate to miss Just as much as I hated missing recording the podcast when Seth cut in, I hate missing weeks of trivia, but I had an obligation. I played with a band and I had to cut out. I was supposed to be there at 10.
Let's give them a shout out. They're a great band.
Yeah, the Free Coasters.
Look them up.
They're amazing. If you are into reggae and ska and soul music, some of the best musicians I've ever played with, and I've played with a lot of musicians. They're just really, really outstanding. They put out one album. They're working on another album now. Just a bunch of great people and just really, really professional. And they've played loads of places. They've gone on tour and stuff. Yep. Their drummer was indisposed, and they asked me to play with them, and I took the opportunity.
That is such a vague and ominous way to describe it. He was indisposed. Like, what does he mean? Was he like, was he sick?
Or, I don't know. Yeah, I think he was double booked. He's a professional musician.
I see.
So I think he was doing something else. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for the first two rounds, I think the whole night was pretty much dominated.
Yeah.
By one team.
Yep.
And that team consisted of, surprise, surprise, Jamie Carmichael, Kristen Fletcher. Kristen's mom was able to sit in.
Yep.
And then a little man that we know is Lee Bretschneider.
Mm-hmm.
And his stunning girlfriend Kyle Ann.
Indeed.
And you sat in with them for the first two rounds, and then took over the third round, and guess what?
It was so painful when you handed me the sheet and I looked and I could see the answers before you announced. And I saw that we got a question wrong that I didn't provide that answer. Never mind. I don't feel too guilty about that. But I was like, ooh, I can't tell them. They're so bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. But yeah, we just we took enough of it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Despite the wrong answers.
How did the team do in that third round?
They did pretty good. I think they got most of them right, actually, if not all of them.
It seems they got all of them except for one. So does that make you feel like a lesser teammate when you leave and you see that they still do great?
No, I did. I love that you asked a question about, why can't I think of their names now? I don't want to say the answer, but you asked a question about the HBO documentary.
Damien Eccles.
And, that's right. Yeah.
Jesse Miss Kelly and Jason Baldwin.
Right, I think so.
Baldwin or Jason Baldwin, one of the two.
The West Memphis Three.
Yeah.
Is their alternate identity.
Paradise Lost.
There's a great episode of the Moth podcast with Damien Eccles where he talks about his imprisonment and solitary and stuff. If you're not familiar with the story, these were improperly accused individuals of at least murdering a child, maybe even more.
Two children, based, I believe. It was two boys.
Yeah, based on their music listening habits. They were basically the town's only metalheads. And so they were accused of murder. And there's this documentary called Paradise Lost that is about the whole thing.
It reminds me a lot, though. Actually, the way I came up with that question is it reminds me a lot of Making a Murderer, which the second season just came out. And based on I don't know the correct way to put it, I guess, but a mentally stunted person, which I can't remember which, I think that might have been Jesse Miss Kelly in the West Memphis Three. And then, of course, there was Brendan Dassey in Making a Murderer, where police basically just verbally stepped on the throat of someone who was not.
Yeah, they coerced them into a confession.
Yeah, basically, led them. So there was, in my eyes, there were a lot of, similarities. And yeah. I was talking to someone at work about Making a Murderer. And I was like, oh, it reminds me of the West Memphis Three. And they were like, reminds you of what? And I was like, oh, my God, you remember the West Memphis Three? So it spurred this huge, discussion about it or whatever. So.
Right, yeah. So I felt like I pulled my weight with that answer. And I got a couple other ones, too, that I wasn't sure if the rest of the team knew it or, I might have just confirmed it because I was like, I'm 100% on that one. So
I'm all in.
Of course I know they can hold their own. You know, they win consistently at multiple trivia events. So yeah. I wasn't too put off by that. But big congratulations to them and all of our winners and all of our teams that came out to play No Nonsense Trivia Live this past week in Southwest Florida. If you missed it, upcoming No Nonsense Trivia Challenges are happening Monday, November 5th at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers. A special two-hour edition of No Nonsense Wednesday, November 7th at Bury Me Brewing Company, and Thursday, November 8th at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in Cape Coral, Florida. Also, don't forget about our next theme event, No Nonsense Trivia Challenge Books Edition, 2 hours of literature trivia that will be held at Macintosh Books and Paper on Tuesday, November 13th. You can find more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. Don't forget also to see Mark on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza. You can find out more information about that and all of our live events online at nononsensetrivia.com. All of the No Nonsense events are free to play. You can win prizes after every single round. Mark, question. If you were to do a themed trivia, on what subject matter would you most want to design a night's quiz around?
I would never do a themed trivia.
You would never do it?
I would never do it. Unless I was being paid. Okay, so there's one time I did anything remotely resembling a themed trivia, which was I did it for a real estate agency that had the woman had come to my trivia and liked me, and she rented out Nice Guys for a private event, and she paid me to do a half hour trivia, what I usually get paid for an hour and a half. And she just she even gave me some of the questions. She wanted me to do a real estate based trivia. And okay. I did it.
Yeah.
But as far as like an event, I don't think I would ever do it unless maybe as like a one off. Someone was like, hey, we're going to do this thing and it's just going to be this one night thing because Christmas is coming up.
So what's your dream scenario in that? If somebody's music trivia? Music. Okay.
Because I just feel like that, you know, I would want to do something where I could just fucking pull so many questions.
I would love to go to a music trivia event that you hosted. I think you should follow this path maybe a little bit.
Well, if anybody's listening and wants to hire a fat guy to do some questions about music,
I think we can make this happen. I know some people.
Do you? Yeah. You're more entrenched in the trivia world than I am.
We'll see if you're into that idea of Mark. I'm not trying to put him on the spot right now, but
I'm absolutely in that idea.
Right in and let us know if you would go to a music trivia event in Southwest Florida, and we'll try to find a venue to put that together. All right, we're going to take a short break.
We got a packed show today.
Oh yes, we do.
We've got loads of stuff going on.
Oh yes, we do.
You don't even know.
Oh yes, we do.
Oh yes, we do.
Okay, Mark, before we get started, I want to give a big shout out to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show.
God love them.
Thank you to our Rumpelstiltskins, the Mikes, Mikey J, and Mike C, as well as our proverbial light keepers, Lucas and Max. Also, of course, thank you to our team captains, Kristen and Fletcher. Right now, we are working towards our next goal of $150 in pledges per month. Once we reach that, we're planning to record additional bonus content for our Patreon supporters every week. And I think actually we're going to just do a one-off after this. So if you're a supporter on Patreon, you can sign up as you're listening to this episode. You'll have access to a special bonus episode.
A creepy bonus episode.
It is after Halloween, but Mark has agreed to receive some of my horror movie questions.
I'm ready to receive, Daddy.
Just for our Patreon listeners. So we're going to do that in case you missed my horror movie trivia. If you're a Patreon listener, you'll be able to check that out. And of course, two of our Patreon supporters won the horror movie trivia.
Or so just listen to me flounder because I don't know much about horror movies.
Yeah, it's going
to
be fun.
So you can just listen to me sound like an idiot.
Yeah.
It'll be amazing.
If you're listening and you can financially support the show, check out our Patreon page, which features all of the support tiers, all of the rewards you can get, and all of our goals. Just go to nononsense.fireside.fm and click on the support button in the top menu.
And when he says support tiers, he means different levels, not cry tiers.
Yeah, I will be crying tears, support tears, if we don't get support. But we're very thankful for those of you that pitched in. It's awesome, quite frankly.
Indeed, yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's go ahead and do some questions now. Did you want to go first, or would you like me to go
first?
I'll
have you go first.
Okay. You mean you'll have me ask a question?
You can ask a question first.
Here's your first question.
Okay.
This is this comes. Oh, I didn't write the subcategories down.
Oh, damn.
But I know.
Well, now I know how to answer.
I'm going off script here. I'm freewheeling right now. This is a classic television question.
Okay.
Yeah. First hosted by Bill Cullen, what is the longest continuously running game show in television history?
One more time.
First hosted by Bill Cullen, what is the longest continuously running game show in television history?
I think I know this.
These mics are extra sensitive today, getting all of my coffee gulps.
Yeah, you're getting all my mouth noises and your coffee gulps, my tea slurps.
This episode is for the ASMR crowd.
My trivia. Gut, I know a lot of people think that Bob Barker was the original, but I think the correct answer is The Price is Right. So I'm going to go with that.
That's absolutely correct.
Nice.
Yeah, The Price is Right. Good job, man.
Excellent. Thanks.
I think Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune are two others that people would go to, and they wrote down, but The Price is Right is the correct answer.
The Price is Right is right.
All right. What do you got for me?
Now, because you did my trivia, mm-hmm. I am going to go back into aforementioned annals mm-hmm. and get some old questions for you.
Lube up.
Here we go. What popular American toy line is referred to as Action Man in the UK?
It's a popular toy line and it's referred to as Action Man in the UK?
Yes. What popular American toy line is referred to as Action Man in the UK?
Action Man. So my first instinct is to go to He-Man. But Action, I think that's the man that's just connecting that. So I don't think that's the answer. Action Man. And it's a popular toy line. You know what would be interesting? Stretch Armstrong would be an interesting answer here. But also, is that even that popular anymore? Stretch Armstrong? Are they bringing that back? I feel like I saw a new Stretch Armstrong the other day, and I was like, that's not Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, I feel like hair or anything. He was almost brought back almost as a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like 10 years ago.
Oh, I mean recently, like last year. There's like brand new Stretch Armstrong.
That's weird.
Yeah. Did you ever have those toys?
I never had a Stretch Armstrong.
Oh, man. I liked
never
it.
Really.
Really? They were so fun. I used to like, you know, just stretch it. And then one day I took like some scissors and I just like opened them up and drank the green insides.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And you're still here to tell this tale.
I guess so. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't drink it. Oh, okay. I did bust it open, though, and I was like, oh, this is not what I was expecting. It was like this clear green liquid, or, if I remember correctly. Watch, somebody's going to call me out there and be like, it wasn't green. It was like a pale yellow.
Yeah, yeah. Miscorrection.
Anyway, Action Man in the UK.
Action Man.
I'm going to go with, I don't know, this seems obvious now. And maybe it's not right, though. G.I. Joe. Because did they have G.I.s in the U.K.?
I don't even know what G.I. stands for.
Government. I'm not
government
sure.
Government I.
Yeah. I. Government. The opposite of Ayn Rand. I am government. I'm going to go with G.I. Joe. And somebody can write us in a mixed correction later with what G.I. stands for.
That's correct.
All right. Nice. Took me a long time to get there.
You got there, though.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't answer He-Man. That was my impulse. Okay, I have a board games question for you now.
Okay.
AC Ducey, not AC/DC, AC Ducey,
mm-hmm.
is a variation on what board game which gained popularity after World War I in the U.S. Navy and Marine Corps? It's soldier time on the podcast today.
Yeah.
AC Deucey is a variation of what board game? Gained popularity after World War One in the U.S. Navy.
Is it a board game?
It is a board game.
Gained popularity in the Navy and the Marine Corps.
Yep.
AC Deucey, I always remember...
Among seamen.
I always thought AC Deucey was a card game.
Maybe it is, but this is a variation of a board game. And I'll explain what the variation is afterwards.
AC Deucey is a variation of a board game.
Yeah.
So there was a board game,
mm-hmm.
and then it was variated.
Yep, and varied. And that's all that people wanted to play in the Navy and the Marines after World War One. I imagine now that smartphones are around, it's probably lost its popularity, but... stuck on a boat, stuck in a goddamn sardine can.
Yeah, my natural instinct is to say Battleship. I don't even know if Battleship necessarily...
It's a worse form of escapism.
Right, well, you know, it's like, I guess while we're here... You know, just fucking blow up those Germans. Yeah. You know, getting all angry or whatever.
Board gaming as propaganda. Interesting.
AC Deucey.
We can manipulate their love of board games to feed them ideology.
I guess I think card game because I think of ace and deuce.
Right.
I think of like poker.
Yeah, this is revenge for your big slick question.
Yeah. Tell me about it. I just keep thinking card games. I guess I gotta come up with something here.
Well, while you're thinking, I'll just explain the big slick question that Mark asked at trivia was what pocket cards do you need to have in order to get big slick, and it's ace and king, right?
Yep.
Not suit specific.
That's you cut that out of the last podcast. I went through the last round of questions that I had asked.
Yeah.
And that found the cutting room floor.
Yeah. But
here we are.
I mean, it's not totally cut. I am building a little repository of deleted scenes too. So I'm not saying when, but at some point we'll feed those onto the Patreon as well.
Beautiful.
So, you know, we just
deleted
don't have
scenes.
Two-hour episodes.
Right.
Much.
I understand.
Yeah.
AC Deucey board game variation. I'm going to just say, I'll say Life.
No, I don't think life, I think, was invented after World War One. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Sure. It's got a 50s look to it.
What if I told you this is a really old board game? Would that help?
I'll say chess.
You're getting closer, but the answer is backgammon.
Oh.
Backgammon. And AC Deucey simply means that no pieces start on the board. You actually just start in the well. If you're familiar with backgammon, usually you start with two pieces per triangle or diamond. I'm not sure the exact terminology at the beginning, and then you have to work them around.
Yep.
In AC Deucey, you have to start by going onto the board.
Man, I've never thought of the likeness from backgammon and Mancala.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Until right now, and I'm like, mm-hmm. holy shit, wow, those are like exactly
very
the
similar.
Same almost. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh, okay.
So that was my second question for you.
Cool deal. Well, here is your second question. Name the original four members of KISS.
Gene Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Criss.
Chris? Peter Criss, yep.
Chris. Oh, I put an extra T on there. Peter Christ. Ace Frehley.
Mm-hmm.
And fourth guy. let's see here. Gene Simmons, Peter Criss, Ace Frehley. Is this obvious? Am I forgetting an obvious one?
You're forgetting one of the big ones.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
People are yelling at their stereo right now.
Yeah, I was never a huge KISS fan.
I don't blame you.
Yeah. But obviously...
Does In the Garage by Weezer help you? Did that help you here?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would have gotten Ace, and I don't know if I would have gotten Peter Criss without that song. Weezer's In the Garage.
Mm-hmm.
They don't name this fourth one, though, do they?
They don't, because
the two main members.
So Peter, Chris, and Ace Frehley are the two that left, and then they just kind of got like a number of drummers and guitarists, but the two main guys stayed with them throughout.
Rivers, how could you let me down? How could you let me down and not include that fourth? You couldn't work in a rhyme with your songwriting database.
Well, he only mentions the two.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he is saying in the song, even though they're not in Kiss, I still have them. I've got Ace Frehley. Oh, okay. I've got Peter Criss. I still have them waiting there for me.
I see.
Even though there are other people in the band now that aren't like the original Kiss, because everybody longed for the original four members to get back together.
Right. Yeah.
Like how he says he has Kitty Pride.
And Nightcrawler, too.
Right, because they were not in the comics for a period, and he's like, well, I still got them.
Yeah, I'm gonna bail on this fourth one. I don't know it.
Really?
I don't think. It's not coming to me right now.
Wow.
So if I had a team, I think we could.
I am shocked. I thought this was going to be cake for you.
Yeah.
And I thought if one of them was going to stump you, it was going to be one of the old ones. It is Paul Stanley.
Paul Stanley. Okay. No, that would be the fourth that I'm most unfamiliar with. And I bet you're right. I bet it's because of that Weezer song. It reinforced the other names.
Yeah.
And
of course, everybody knows the creep with the tongue.
Right. Gene Simmons. The Sim Sam. I hate that guy. I really do.
He's a piece of trash.
I love hate him. Like, I love listening to that Terry Gross interview where he's Jesus just being a total Christ. Prick to her. And she's just like, fuck you, basically.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
It's good moments. Also, another moment like that I like is the Gallagher interview on WTF.
Ugh.
Did you listen to that
Hard
one?
Hard to listen to, yeah.
Yeah, where Gallagher gets all offended that he's... Mark Maron just basically calls him out for making racist jokes, I think.
Yeah.
And he's like, I love black people. You're mean. You're rude. I'm leaving.
That and any interview with Andrew Dice Clay almost is just...
Cringy.
He's so insufferable.
Yeah. Cringy superstars. Of yesteryear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our new podcast. Listen to our new podcast, Cringy Superstars of Yesteryear. All right.
Question three.
Paul Stanley. Good to know. Okay, here's my third question for you. This is a music question, but it flows over into the TV category as well. In the Barnes and Barnes novelty rock classic featured on Saturday Night Live and Dr. Demento, in 1980, what are identified as being roly-poly?
What?
Wow, I thought you might know this, actually. I thought you were going to know this
one. Well, I mean, it's not that I don't know. Okay.
What are identified as being roly-poly in the 1980 novelty rock classic by Barnes & Barnes that was featured on Saturday Night Live and Dr. Demento?
Oh, duh.
Got
wow.
It
took me a minute. Barnes and Barnes. That would have to be, and I remember finding the music video for this later on when the internet came out and finding out they had a music video. Did a lot of people get this?
I have not. Oh no. You know what? Nobody got this. Nobody got this.
Really?
Yeah. This was on Monday night at Three Pepper.
If they had,
Seth might have gotten this right. I'd have to check the record.
Now, just in the interest of full disclosure here, I was not on the Wet Boys on Monday.
Right.
I was obligated.
So you're saying Seth wouldn't have won if you were there is what you're
saying. I'm not
saying
that, but I'm saying I would have gotten this.
Yeah.
Because the answer is fish heads, roly-poly fish heads. Fish heads, eat them up. Yum.
That's right. Fish heads, roly-poly.
I was like, roly-poly, I know that, and I know that, like, it has something to do with something I know.
Yeah.
And then as soon as you reread the question, it hit me. I was like, oh, yeah, roly-poly fish heads.
Yeah.
For sure.
Right on. Yeah. I have fond memories of watching that as a kid on, like, Saturday Night Live reruns, I think.
Yeah, very, very, very bizarre.
Weird, yeah. I feel like it kind of cut the way for, like, my bizarre sense of humor later on.
Here's the last
question. Aren't I interesting and bizarre and weird?
All right, here's your last question.
Yeah.
Who are the only two men to sign the Declaration of Independence and went on to become president? Who are the only two men to sign the Declaration of Independence and to become president?
Interesting.
You have such a serious look on your face.
I want to say we all know that Tommen from Game of Thrones, Thomas Jefferson drafted it. So, and he did go on to become president. So
that's one.
But did he sign it? Okay, so I guess he did sign it.
Yeah,
I thought maybe there might be a trick question there. And then, man, you know, I want to say the other one is it's got to be John Adams, right?
Does it?
Yes, I think it's John Adams, the lawyer played by Paul Giamatti, HBO series John Adams, and by what's his name? He was played by the guy that played Feeny on Boy Meets World.
No idea.
In the musical drama 1776.
Ooh, I remember watching that in fucking high school.
Really?
It was cringy.
Yeah. I loved watching that as a kid. We had the VHS tape. I think I've mentioned
that on the
podcast.
Keep saying that New York abstains?
Yeah, New York abstains!
Courteously.
Courteously, yes, yeah. That's exactly it.
You're correct. It is John Adams and Thomas Jefferson.
Right on. Shout out to my mom for giving me that 1776 tape.
Shout out to my teacher for giving me a chance to nap. That's it for the first round, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Just one more side note. The guy that played John Adams and Feeny on Boy Meets World, I don't know if you saw, but he shooed away a burglar from his home. Like, somebody was trying to kick in his door. He's 91 years old. And apparently...
He's 91?
Yeah. Jesus. Apparently, a flicker of the light switch was about to deter them. But they were like, he stopped an armed robbery in his home.
Well, you said shoot away. I pictured him literally doing the flip thing with the hand. Shoot. Get away from here. I'm an old man. The guy was like, all right, see ya.
That's kind of how I imagine it, too.
It's kind of like the story. I don't know if it's true or not, but there's the story that went around about Mr. Rogers.
Uh-huh.
How someone stole his car. And they went through the trunk and I guess saw...
It was Fred Rogers' car.
It was his car. Like, it had, like, his, like, maybe, like, I don't know.
What's his middle name again? Fred Rogers?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You asked this, didn't you? Oh, I know. I remember what it is now.
What was it?
McFeely.
Oh, yeah.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
The guy felt so bad, he brought his car back to him with a note and just left it out and was just like, hey... blah, 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 blah. Sorry, I took your car because the guy felt so bad.
It pays to be nice.
I don't know if
people.
That's true or not, but
it pays to be nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, take us out, Mark.
All right, we are going to wrap up this first round. We're going to come back with the second round. We've got miscorrections
and rate my questions.
We've got rate my questions. We've got listener questions. We got all kinds of goodies, so make sure you stick around.
Back, but before we get into round two, it's time for a missed correction.
Missed correction. It's crazy how awkward those notes are and strange they are.
Are they?
That I just made that up. I don't know. It just seems weird to me. Like whenever we sing it, I'm like, how does that stick in my head so well?
Yeah, I don't know. It is strange. It's the missed correction theme is so enigmatic.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're actually going to talk about one, I think, kind of mix up.
Yeah.
And one revisiting of a rate my question thing.
Yeah. What do we
so
got?
The misunderstanding was we had Mike, who is a Rumpelstiltskin.
That's right. Thank you, Mike.
Write in and tell us that, or ask me if I mentioned that Wilt Chamberlain was white because of the question about the NBA logo and Jerry West.
And my guess was Wilt Chamberlain.
And your guess was Wilt Chamberlain. And I said wrong race.
Right. And what you meant was in the logo.
Yes.
Yeah. But there was a moment of confusion where for a brief second, I thought that you were telling me that Wilt Chamberlain was white, and my lack of sports knowledge had me doubting myself, and I thought I was insane. But then I realized, no, you meant the logo. And I even said on the podcast, I believe I said something like, oh, you mean I don't know what the race is of
the
logo.
Yeah, you said, I don't know the race of the logo. Yeah. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Just to clarify, because we got the write-in from Mike. Mark was referring to the logo, not Wilt Chamberlain.
Correct. Yeah. So then also, we did have him mention the Pillsbury Doughboy and the blue scarf.
Right. Dallas's question. Rate my question.
Dallas's rate my question. Yeah. Which we said was good. And I still stick by the fact that I think it was a good question. However, and I didn't have much time to dig too deep in here, but it seems like maybe at one time his scarf being blue back in the day was maybe a little more common. There is a Reddit post about this in r/retconned.
This is like me trying to remember that mnemonic device for the planets.
right. Where there is a number, yeah. And I was showing you a couple of them, where the Pillsbury Doughboy, there are a couple of artistic interpretations mm-hmm. of toys, stuffed animals,
yeah.
and things like that back in the day, where he is wearing a blue scarf. And there are a number of people who are like, it definitely used to be blue, da 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 da. The white one looks weird, et cetera, et cetera.
Ew, it's weird. Why does he have a white scarf? Oh, I just find that so off-putting.
Yeah, so it's you know, it's hard to say if people are just like fighting, you know, because they have that Mandela effect thing going on and they want to believe
yeah.
that it's always been blue or whatever. But there definitely is a number, and the Simpsons is there's a still from the Simpsons where they drew the Pillsbury Doughboys but wearing a blue scarf.
This is really just like a handful of blue examples. Mostly he's white, right?
Which is why, yeah, I would probably make a stipulation. I think once I asked a question about, and I may have even mentioned it in the podcast, about Mickey Mouse's shoes.
Right.
Where I said, in most artistic depictions, mm-hmm. what color are his shoes? So that way, you know, even if, you know, a couple times they've been some, you know, other color, that we know that I'm talking about, you know, right. usually. And I think that that would be good because people who think it's blue all the time would definitely be like, oh, well, usually then it's usually blue. And then
like
you
that
bring
time
it up.
That Mickey wore Yeezys.
Exactly. It was kind of like when we were talking about the Kool-Aid question, the yeah, Kool-Aid man question, right. where you go, you know, in most artistic depictions, what color is the Kool-Aid in the Kool-Aid man?
Yeah, it always helps to be it's
usually
more specific.
Red.
But yeah, I feel like there is a little bit of a gulf between that question and this question, because it's not like with the Pillsbury Doughboy, when they have lemon squares or something, he's wearing a yellow scarf. Kool-Aid, they just go buck wild with the colors, like whatever crazy flavor combination their food scientists have concocted gets a new color, you know, like it's time for chrome Kool-Aid. Man made with pure mercury.
All right, and then real quick, we have a listener question.
Yeah, let me ask you. Ooh. We have two listener questions.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna save one for the next round, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll ask you this one because you're gonna ask the first question of the round this time.
Alrighty.
So here we go. This comes from Drew over at Three Pepper Burrito Company.
Drew is a fantastic man.
Yeah,
a beautiful man.
He is. He is indeed. And he sent this question. I still have not looked up the answer, so I don't know the answer to it. I've been thinking about it for basically like a week now, and I haven't come up with anything. So I want to see if you know it though.
Okay.
Here it comes. In the year 1900. Famous automotive brothers Edouard and André created a travel guide to indirectly promote sales of their not-yet-popular product. Being the oldest of its kind, this guide eventually blossomed into the presenter of this top honor for select establishments' excellence in their industry. So I believe it is their last name.
I'm going to say Zagat's.
You know, I had that guess, and I ran that by him this past Monday when I saw him over at Three Pepper, and that is not the answer. My guess, because it was a travel guide, my guess that he also told me was incorrect, was Rand McNally.
Okay,
but
yeah, that's a great guess.
I was thinking, I think Rand McNally is actually two last names.
So you know the answer now.
I don't know the answer.
You don't?
We have to look it up. I wanted to see if you knew it, and I didn't want to
spoil. Let me read it one more time, and then you can look it up.
Yeah. In the year 1900, famous automotive brothers Edouard and André created a travel guide to indirectly promote sales of their not-yet-popular product. Man, that is the clue right there. Their not-yet-popular product.
Yeah.
Being the oldest of its kind, this guide eventually blossomed into the presenter of this top honor for select establishments' excellence in their industry.
Man. They're not. So they released a guide for their not yet popular product. That is a really good question. I mean, I know that's a listener question, but it's, if it was a rate my question,
that's, I wanted that to put it in there.
Fucking,
but
that would be 10 stars out of 10.
I agree. This is a great question.
I can't believe you didn't look this up earlier.
Well, I just figured we could do it, you know.
Live. We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live, damn it. Who said that?
What's his name? Bill O'Reilly.
That's right. Yeah.
Sting plays us out. What does that mean? So angry.
Yeah.
Do you have an answer?
I do. And what it's rather it? Obvious now. So it was a travel guide, right?
Right.
The Michelin Awards. Michelin is the answer there. Good question, Drew.
It's a great question. Yeah.
Good question. Thanks for stumping us.
I can't
name the segment Stump the Chumps. That's from Car Talk.
Yeah.
Which is...
Yeah.
And we'd be very
easily stumped.
For our listeners that are younger than Xennials, you might not know about Car Talk, but great NPR show where even if you have no interest in cars, very fascinating, good hosts.
Indeed. I'm going to ask you another listener question here in a minute, but do you remember the first question you asked as a quizmaster?
No, I don't. I have it logged. I can look it up. But why?
Because Joey Patterson wrote in asking, along with how we avoid asking the same questions multiple times, which apparently I don't, because I've asked that question about the Sierra Nevada
right.
Mount Whitney multiple times. But I think
I have a selection in my repo. If I ask it, I just check it and it removes it basically. And then after a certain amount of time, I'll reintroduce those questions. So another benefit of having a repository, FYI.
My first question, my first question that I have written down was, what was the name of the hurricane that made landfall in Mexico in late October 2015, which is a lot easier to know if you were closer to 2015.
Yeah.
But the answer was Hurricane Patricia.
So that was a current events question, basically.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
I found mine. Here, this is the first question I asked was, all of the swans in England are owned by the same person. Who is that person?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
The Queen?
You're right.
Okay.
The Queen of England. It's an old law.
Give me all the fucking swans. And fucking last one of them. If she just wants 20 swans at the fucking drop of a hat, she's like, fetch me my swans.
I'm more imaginative of going out for a walk and seeing a swan and going, mine, mine, give that me. One's mine, that one's mine.
Did a lot of people get it? Do you remember?
I don't remember. I don't know if I have the score for
I know, 2015,
ones.
So I just did 4 years, and it's 2018, so I had a year of questions that I, like, wrote down and didn't keep track of, so.
Let's do your listener question after we do the rate my question later.
Perfect, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So let's go ahead and get into the round now.
All right, here is your first question of the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Which playwright, because literature,
mm-hmm.
which playwright wrote The Crucible? Or Crucible.
The Crucible. You got a crucible that...
Crushable.
Yeah, that was the play about adultery trials, right?
I believe so.
Hmm. Not The Scarlet Letter, though.
No,
that's a different...
Do you remember what letter it was, The Scarlet Letter?
It was A.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do remember that. That was maybe the one book that I read in high school. I don't know. I started high school trying to learn, and then by... year two, I basically did not give a fuck and I wanted to get out of there. And somebody reminded me even that, I couldn't even remember this, but somebody reminded me today because I made a Throwback Thursday post on my Facebook that I had one day duct taped gaming magazines to my legs to smuggle them into class.
Jesus Christ.
And I don't even remember why, like, they weren't checking our bags or anything, you know, but for whatever reason, that was my methodology.
I love the weird shit kids do. Yeah. Tim Clark, listener.
Mm-hmm.
Close friend, Clark and Isley boat building. He ate a rib and hollowed out the middle, the marrow, and put it on a necklace and wore it to middle school. It's such a random thing when you're a kid and you're just like, this just seems like a good idea.
Yeah, he probably just read Lord of the Flies. He was required to read Lord of the Flies.
You're like, wearing a fucking rib bone to school.
Yeah.
And people are just like, is that a rib?
I can't remember if this is the author. I want to say that this is the Crucible. Is it Arthur Miller?
Yes.
All right.
Arthur Miller. Great going. Yeah,
thanks, man.
Good job.
When you said playwright, I was like, I hope this is a Tennessee Williams or Shakespeare question, because that's all I could pull. But actually, when you asked it, I was like, oh, shit, I know this. I know this
one. Nice. Perfect.
Yeah. All right. Here is your first question of this round. What bright color tubular flowers attract hummingbirds to your garden? And they also share a name with a 1964 spy film. I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to say a 1964 James Bond film. What bright colored tubular flowers attract hummingbirds to your garden? They also share a name with a 1964 James Bond film. Are you a huge Bond fan?
You know, I think it's cool or whatever, I guess, like the whole gadgetry.
Yeah.
And, you know, the young man in me thought it was cool that he was like, you know, all these like
a ladies man.
Yeah.
A like bachelor.
The, and the, you know, the sleeping with people he shouldn't be sleeping with, you know, just
very
like
progressive
this,
of him sleeping in, with people he shouldn't have been. No.
It was just a very intense, you know, yeah. But, you know, I'm not a car guy, but I liked the car scenes and da-da-da, but never enough. I could probably name five James Bond movies. Right. No,
I had to include one to make up for my Ian Fleming fiasco on the previous podcast.
That was rough.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of names of movies and
is there any James Bond movies you can think of right now that sound like they could be flower names?
Yeah, my guess is Goldfinger. I mean, it's not Dr. No, not Casino Royale. And I think Goldfinger, you think of tubular like a finger. So I'm going to say Goldfinger.
That's right.
Okay.
It is Goldfinger. Good job.
That's awesome.
Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Here is your second question. Mm-hmm. This is another one of those. I think that it may be tricky, but I don't know. Who assassinated Martin Luther King Jr.?
Ooh.
What is the name of the person who assassinated?
You know, all right. I feel like...
MLKJ.
Yes. I know who you're talking about.
Milkja.
I know who you're talking about. There was recently a... I don't know if it was a protest or just a gathering in front of a statue that was dedicated to Martin Luther King Jr. I guess it was the first statue that was ever made of him. And it just straight up does not look like him at all. So people were like, hey, fix this shit. It's good that you guys are memorializing him, but this clearly is just generic black man.
Did you ever see the bust of, I think it was Cristiano Ronaldo?
Mm-mm.
Someone,
is that a soccer player?
Yes.
Okay.
He is a famous soccer player and he's considered one of the best soccer players of all time. And someone made a bust of him. So this is what he looks like. All right. We'll have to put this. Or
yeah.
Something.
We'll put
he's
this
a very, very, very handsome guy.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. Looks like a model.
That is the bust that was made that is supposed to look like him.
Yeah. Well, the MLK one is even worse than that, I have to say. So we'll put links to that anyway.
It is definitely not generic.
Yeah.
But
that's horrifying what you just showed me. That's just straight up goofy looking.
There's a better picture of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that not fucking terrible?
Somebody took some artistic license.
A human
license.
Being who considered themselves an artist.
Yeah. I love the restoration of like old paintings, too, that end up looking.
For a guy who looks like that.
Yeah, I see.
I would lick that guy's balls.
That.
No, wow. I mean, I wouldn't really. No, I will have to post it on something maybe.
Yeah, show notes. Look at the show notes of this episode. We always put them there. I don't think anybody looks at the show notes, but we always have
tons of
links.
They're for you. They're there for you.
We take the time to put them in there and everything. So check it out.
We don't. You do. Thank you.
Thank you
for all you do.
Okay.
I sit and eat spaghetti.
Anyway. Oh, spaghetti sounds so good.
Yeah,
the man who assassinated Martin Luther King Jr. I don't know why I think this is wrong. Is it James Earl Ray?
That's correct.
Oh, man.
Good going.
Wow.
James Earl Ray.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely learned that in school, obviously. I think that that's part of the public curriculum of history. Hopefully it still is this day and age. I don't know what they're teaching in schools these days, but back in the early aughts, they taught that. And I think I actually did come across that bit of information recently, too. Charles Lee Ray from Child Play, which is the,
yeah,
the name of Chucky, the serial killer that inhabits his body.
Is it Child Play or Child's Play?
Child's Play.
Okay.
Did I say Child Play?
You did.
My bad. I think the name was inspired by James Earl Ray.
And just so we're clear, I was not trying to like out you by acting like I didn't know. Literally like,
don't worry, I'll get you back in my bonus wrong? Horror movie trivia.
Oh, yeah, Christ Almighty. I will
get you back. Don't you worry.
No, yeah, you will.
Okay, so yeah, wow. Okay, I'm glad I knew that.
My third
question. Good to reinforce that, you know,
for sure. In case it comes up on, you always want to know who killed famous people, mm-hmm, who were fighting for civil rights.
Right. Yeah.
Good knowledge to have.
Okay. Including the federal government in some cases. Oh, yeah. Whoa. All right. We won't get too political here. But yeah, if you look at the civil rights leaders, you know, I'm pretty sure a lot of that information is coming out as public record now. That, yeah, the government had some involvement in taking some of their rivals down.
This is my shocked face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here is your, this is actually your second question.
Oh.
Yeah. This is a logos question. Ooh. A business major category, logos and branding subcategory.
No. Business main, mm-hmm, branding subcategory, subcategory logos.
Yeah, that's coming next year.
The branches are just going to be going crazy. Yeah.
Okay. Between what two letters can you find an arrow in the logo of a popular shipping company symbolizing speed and precision, according to the logo designers? One more time. Between what two letters can you find an arrow in the logo of a popular shipping company symbolizing speed and precision, according to the logo designers? Now, can you tell a graphic designer wrote this question?
A little bit. Well, so initially, my answer before you even finished it all was Amazon. Because they have that AZ, and they have an arrow signifying we have everything from A to Z. Which I always thought, I am not graphically minded at all. As a matter of fact, you were kind enough, you were, before you got into the trivia game, you're the person who I had these pathetic answer sheets that were just like team name with a blank and then just like 1, 2, 3. It had like nothing on it. They were
designed in Word.
They were the yeah, literally.
Yeah.
And then you were like, oh, let me take a crack at it, and you made these gorgeous answer sheets, and I was like, oh, holy shit.
Thanks, man. And happy to help.
It just reinforced how I know nothing. You know, I'm very utilitarian, just very like, here you go. This is places by. I'm like the Ron Swanson of trivia, as to where you're very much right. The Leslie Knope. You're very
it's
like,
fair. That's fair.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that analogy.
Yeah, which is, fair. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, it's glorious, but
it takes two.
Yeah. So shipping companies. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even know how many fucking shipping companies I know. There's UPS, DHL, fucking USPS. I don't even know if I know any more other ones. So for the interest of brevity, I'm just going to say DHL.
No, you missed one. There's one you're not thinking of, and that's the answer.
Okay.
It's FedEx, and it's between the E and the X. They're actually, those letters are right up next to each other, and the space in between the E and the X at the bottom makes an arrow.
I don't think I ever even noticed that.
Many people don't, but it's deliberately put there by the logo designers as like it represents,
now I'm gonna look this
speed
up,
and precision. So if you look at the EX in the FedEx logo, if you look at the negative space underneath the bottom half of the E, that's the one side of the arrow, and then the triangle on the X,
holy shit,
is the other side. It's so subtle because it's not,
dude, that's so awesome.
Yeah, it's a really good logo.
I wonder how angry that designer is that it goes unnoticed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you come up with it and you're like, oh man, this is so clever, and then like you find out no one knows. It's like, what? It was right underneath your nose the whole time.
I think based on what I was reading when I was looking at information about this is they're kind of proud. It's, and as a graphic designer, I can agree. It's like, it's nice to put in subtle details that aren't immediately apparent, but when people catch them, you know, it's just like anybody can come out and see you rock out on the drums and appreciate the whole thing. But when a drummer's in the audience and then they come up to you afterwards and they're like, I see what you did in that part. That was awesome. That you're actually proud of it. You know, it doesn't matter that most people didn't recognize. It's like, oh, this is what it was worth it. You know.
All right. Your last question. Give me what category do you want? We've been talking about categories.
I want a movie question.
That's so perfect. Wow.
Cool.
Because I happen to have a movie question.
Nice.
And it's a question related to a movie series we've talked about before on this podcast, and one that I think is kind of near and dear to your heart.
Okay.
This might be an easy one for you, but we'll see.
All right.
This was asked on Back to the Future today, or Back to the Future Day.
Oh, I thought you just gave me the answer accidentally.
What is the name of Doc Brown's pet sheepdog?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I would subcategorize this as a plot detail, just in case you're curious.
Jesus Christ. Main category, life. Subcategory, eyes. Sub-subcategory.
Viewing.
Viewing. Sub-sub-subcategory, movies and television. Sub-sub-sub-subcategory, movies. Sub-sub-sub-sub-subcategory.
These are all great ideas, Mark, for subcategories and hierarchies.
That's what I'm here for. Genus, species.
Sheepdog.
Mm-hmm.
Source, footage. Back to the Future.
This is subcategory under... animals.
Yeah, I'm gonna disappoint. Pictures. I'm gonna disappoint a lot of my friends. I have no idea.
Really?
I can't even.
Man, I thought you were totally fucking dragging me along.
This is actually not my favorite series of movies. I've seen them a couple times. I enjoy them. I know Robert Zemeckis directed them. I know they shot a certain amount of the first movie with Eric Stoltz and then fired mm-hmm. him and then reshot it.
I would love to see that footage
with Michael Eric J. Stoltz. Fox. There's some online. You can see some
really?
Of it.
Really? Yeah. Okay. I'll have to check it out.
And it is a different vibe. He's playing it totally different. It's not very funny. It's kind of weird. And like, I don't want to say spooky, but it's just like, it seems like way more dramatic.
Basically. Can you imagine if that movie was made as a dramatic? I mean, that would be cool, kind of.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that would be cool to see. You know, you and I have gone back and forth. You are very pro reboot, and I am not. But that is the kind of stuff that if you're going to do a reboot, I think would be cool.
Yeah.
Is if almost you changed the genre of a movie and you took something and made it, you know, you took a movie like that, which is like largely comedy, and made it into like a drama or like a horror movie, kind of like a. Like a spookier movie or whatever.
Yeah.
The answer, do you want to take a stab at it? I would say, remember the field in which he is working.
Uh-huh. Oh.
That would be my clue.
Okay. The field of time travel.
Or those, you know, those sciences.
It's a sheepdog?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm like not even remembering the right breed of dog. In my head, it's like a small, like white dog, like Peanut the dog.
Oh no!
But it's not Gigawatt, but it's something like that. Or Einstein. Einstein.
It is Einstein.
Shit.
Holy shit!
Shit!
Out of nowhere, here he comes, ladies and gentlemen. I was about to open my
Thanks
mouth to give
me,
the
man.
Fucking answer. Yeah,
thank
I
you
mean,
for pushing me on that.
Yeah,
I just had to start saying words out loud.
Yeah, I figured it was somewhere deep in there.
Yep.
Do you remember the name of the dog on Fraggle Rock?
No, I definitely don't remember that.
Sprocket.
Sprocket. Yeah.
Sprocket.
Yeah. I mean,
the
now
old
that you're
guy
saying
upstairs
it.
Mm-hmm. who used to fuck with Traveling Matt.
Is that little, another character?
That was the Fraggle that used to go out into the real world, and he would write them. He would send them postcards from all over the world and be like, oh, I'm in, you know, France. And he would like send pictures of the Louvre and of this, anything. And he would talk about it, and you'd see him like walking. You'd see these giant feet walking around him and stuff. And he'd be like walking around being all Fraggly. It was very, very cool.
Wow. All right. I have another one for you now. This is your
third question.
Question, yeah.
Okay.
Another movies question. We're gonna close out with some movies.
Right.
And again, if you go to our Patreon page and support it, I think at any level you'll be able to hear our horror movie edition. I'm gonna throw some questions at Mark here.
You'll also be able to tell us stop asking all these fucking movie questions. Yeah. Ask some literature, just, some, you know, whatever the fuck you want.
It's been a good Halloween season, and I feel like
it's
petering off now, but we can throw a little bit more Halloween out there. This is really the last chance we have.
Yeah.
Until next year.
Until
next year.
There is a next year.
Here is a movie question for you. What 1992 film stars Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn as magically immortal rivals who fight to grotesque lengths over a fully coiffed Bruce Willis?
Yeah, I remember this, I think. I hope I have the right answer. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty good about it.
Let's hear it.
I remember being pretty creepy. Death Becomes Her?
That's right.
Awesome. Yep. Yeah, that movie, I was 12, and that movie was fucking weird as shit.
That was a playground for Industrial Light and Magic, basically.
Oh, yeah.
So they were looking for stuff to do post-Star Wars, post-Special Edition, or maybe at the same time.
That must have been a very magical time.
Yeah, yeah, because I believe all of that is pre... Well, I'm sure there was some computer, you know, use in it, but I think they, you know, there was a lot less. They were achieving effects using computers that hadn't been done before. Like, there's a scene where Goldie Hawn, I think she gets a cannonball shot through her, and it has like a mm-hmm. cartoon hole. This is a clean hole, and they look through the middle of her body. I remember being really intrigued, like, whoa, this
Someone
is like
gets
live
their head
action.
Turned around.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It was very, very good.
Yeah. Meryl Streep's walking around with a backwards head.
Yep.
They're basically, yeah, they're immortal, and then they just, like, you know, try to booby trap each other to death.
For some reason, I always confuse that movie in War of the Roses. Which was another movie that was not about, like, people being immortal, but it was, like, some kind of battle, and I guess because they were fighting back and forth.
Is this a historical War of the Roses?
No. Oh, okay. This is...
It's like Kevin Costner or something?
It's something like that. I think maybe Danny DeVito was in it. Yeah. I can't remember.
These are the blockbuster days that we're talking about. Like, these movies, you had to go physically pick them up. Like, you'd walk into a giant red box.
Except these are like, yeah, even like beyond the golden age, yeah. I want to say.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you know, this was late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
I just remember, you know, it was one of those movies that for whatever reason, it came in 89, The War of the Roses. And Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas, not...
And Danny DeVito. So I was right about Danny DeVito. I thought that was wrong. Sean Astin.
Rudy,
a young Sean Astin,
Samwise,
17 years of marriage, blah blah blah. The trouble is neither one wants to part with their opulent home, so they have a giant fight. Okay,
I see.
Yep.
All right, we are. I think that wraps it up, right?
It absolutely does.
Okay, we've got one more round of final questions. We've got a rate my question and a listener question.
Absolutely.
Okay. See you.
Chock full of exciting user content.
Stick around. Okay, and we're back, and it's time for a Rate My Question.
Rate My Question. So we have a good friend and listener, Adam Prowitz. He and his lovely wife are out.
They're in China.
And
they moved. They used to play trivia with us over here when they were in Florida.
They did.
Now they're in China.
So he and Charity are out there teaching people, I think, English. Mm-hmm. And while out there, he got a gig doing trivia.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's doing it in English to a bunch of people from all over the country. He said he had his first night last night.
Oh,
he had people from 10 different countries.
Wow.
And he said people talking about what countries they're from or whatever, people are actually getting up and going to other tables and talking to them. Being like, oh, wow, you're from here? Cool. So very, very neat.
So it was an international competition, basically, held in China.
Basically, yeah.
That's awesome.
So it's very tricky for him, and we might actually have him on soon to find out about how he's going to pick what kind of questions to ask because, you know, he asked me for some questions. I kind of just gave him access to my repository and said, if there's anything here you can use, but there's some stuff that's probably decidedly so American that he can't use it there.
He's in new territory now. Yeah. Not looking forward to that 3 a.m. recording session, but we'll work it out. Don't you worry.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely have some questions for him about it.
Yeah. So, you know, he mentioned it to me specifically because he said that I was, you know, the trivia that I run that he went to was one of the things that kind of made him want to do it.
Right.
So that's very, very awesome.
You're the quiz daddy.
I'll take that over being the fucking pretzel daddy any day of the year.
No, no, no. Yeah. I mean, you inspired me to get into trivia. Now, Adam, you know, it's great.
Indeed. So he asked this question, and we had mentioned riddles before. And so I just kind of wanted to see if you knew it and how you would rate it, and if it's something that that you would ask.
Yeah.
What is the only five-letter word in the English language that becomes shorter after you add two letters to it?
Yeah, I do know the answer to this one. The word, the five-letter word that you're looking for is short.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a, I don't want to say a trick question, but it's a riddle. It's a riddle.
It is. Yeah. So how do you feel about that question?
I feel like it's a little easy. Yeah. When you told me that you were going to ask me a riddle, I started to get really nervous because I do love riddles, but I'm by no means good at them.
Okay.
But maybe I am good at them. I don't know.
Well, you did that well. Yeah. I mean, that's it's almost not a riddle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it's
I did in my categories. I did take out my riddle category after the fiasco that we had. I left it there. You know, I asked a riddle at trivia that you did not enjoy.
No.
Many players did not enjoy it.
Correct.
And I said,
we were all right.
Yeah. And you were like, no riddles. And I let it sit there in the repository for a couple weeks. And I thought, do I need riddles? I don't need riddles.
You don't need riddles.
You don't need riddles.
Yeah. But
I like riddles.
You're better than that.
And if I come across a good one, I might still include it in the future, but it's not going to be a regular category.
There is that riddle that is, what can you put into a barrel to make it lighter?
What can you put into a barrel to make it lighter?
What can you put in a barrel to make it lighter?
No, I don't got it.
A hole.
Oh, okay.
See how clever that is.
point taken.
See how bad you feel?
Point taken.
So yeah, he had two teams not get it.
Oh,
okay. Out of, I can't remember exactly how many groups he said he had.
If you got two teams that aren't getting it out of, even if it's like five or more, I think that's a good question. If it's not, you know, I don't know. If I asked that question, I would assume that everybody would get it.
Well, so let's talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Fortnite.
Let's talk about it.
So last night at my trivia, first question, what was my first question?
How long is a Fortnite?
Now, Lee, you, if I remember correctly, if I do not have a Mandela effect going on right now, you were very sure that everyone was going to get it correct.
I was.
Can you tell our listeners what percentage of people got it correct?
60% of the teams that played last night got that question.
That's
correct.
Me sipping my tea. 10 teams, four teams wrote down incorrect answers, such as...
Boy, howdy, are they
24
wrong?
Hours, 48 hours.
Right.
There was one that was, I wish I could remember it.
Seconds?
From tonight until tomorrow or something.
Yeah.
For the night.
They tried.
Until tomorrow, like they tried
they
to like
really
make a thing.
Yeah.
So out of 10 teams, six got it correct. They either put 2 weeks or 14 days.
Yeah.
And four teams.
I have to say, yeah. I mean, that question is better than that was a write-in question, wasn't it? Didn't somebody submit that for a was that our first Rate My Question from
Dallas?
I
think it might have been. I think it was it from Taylor?
Taylor. That's right.
Taylor. Thank you very much, Taylor.
Yeah. So I take it back. I think I gave that a bad rating as a question. I guess it's a little bit more powerful and potent than I imagined. I was listening to the BBC Radio News Hour podcast.
This is the BBC Radio News Hour.
Oh man, I love the sound of that voice.
So good.
Yeah, maybe we should get some British accents, and then our podcast
profiles
would be so much
and
better.
Eccentricity.
So much better.
Has a British accent that leads them in.
Oh.
This is
we'll
Profiles
have to
in Eccentricity.
That. We need to get us a British accent.
We'll call them and get their guy.
But anyways, I was listening to the podcast, and one of their journalists did use the word Fortnite. And this was just a couple weeks ago. So I think maybe it's just more popular maybe in the UK than it is over here. But yeah, I mean, I thought that that was, I thought many people would get that right. And I guess most did, but 40% is a shocking amount to me.
All right. Two other listener questions real quick. First, who do you think is going to be sitting on the Iron Throne? This is not a trivia question, but just out of curiosity, I know that you're a big Game of Thrones fan. If you had to just give one name real quick, boom, right off the bat, who do you think is going to end up being on the Iron Throne?
Sansa.
Sansa.
Okay. Sansa is, and I think that she's going to have, wow, see. This show has not been on in so long that I'm forgetting Peter Dinklage's character's name.
Oh, Tyrion.
Tyrion. Tyrion will be her hand. And I think Arya is going to get ganked by... Spoilers if you haven't seen the show, by the way. But I'm just going to go into it right now because I am a fan. I think that Littlefinger's not dead. And I think that she is going to attempt to kill Cersei. And at the last second, Littlefinger's going to slink out from behind the curtains and say, the best laid plans or something like that.
Well, I have to talk to you more about that off mic because that is fascinating.
Yeah. Basically, if you look at before the character Littlefinger died in the last season, there's a scene earlier in that episode where he gives an iron coin to a random lady in Winterfell and says, your time is up. And his family has strong ties to the Iron Bank and Braavos, who are funding the Faceless Men assassins.
Holy shit.
The theory is that the Littlefinger that died was a Faceless Man borrowing his face, and that, you know, he's going to come back at some point.
Wow. But can't they only borrow the face of someone who's dead?
No, they've shown in the show before that they've done it with a living person.
Okay.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yep.
Well, so I'm going to say Tyrion is who I think. And that's just
Tyrion,
kind
on
of
the throne?
Hopeful. Yeah.
That would be cool, but...
Because it seems like he's never wanted it, which is why he should have it.
Yeah.
So that's my hope.
Okay.
Is that he's just like kind of a cool guy, and it would be nice to see him kind of get his just desserts.
Yeah.
And now...
I think Danny and Jon are both going to bite it, and I don't think either of them are going to make it to the Iron Throne. But I see Sansa surviving, and her and Tyrion maybe working together, like saying, you know, it's time for a new era, you know, that's not based on... Maybe nobody's sitting on the Iron Throne, actually, you know, but I see them as being kind of the last survivors, if you will.
And then another listener question from Anthony LaFauci asks, how do you determine if a question is too obscure or requires too specific a knowledge on a particular subject? And what fun facts do you know and love, but just won't work as questions for one reason or another? Which I think those questions can be kind of tied together.
Yeah. So a question being too hard, if all the questions are too hard, then it's not going to be any fun, you know? So it's kind of walking a line. I mean, that's a good question. Like, where do you draw that line? You know,
I think there's no question that's too hard as long as you find a way to give extra clues, which is kind of what you do.
Right.
So you can take the most obscure fact and probably find some way to make it understandable or to give you, it's almost like asking two questions in one, right? Where you go, here's a question, and then also here's a question about something else that maybe relates to the answer. Perfect example is the hummingbird question you asked today.
Right.
So what is the long tubular thing, blah, 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 blah.
That attracts hummingbirds.
So there's that.
That would be hard as fuck, just based on
a very hard
itself.
Question. Yeah. So that's a question that is tough. Mm-hmm. Then you go, the same name of a James Bond movie. If you hadn't asked that, I would never have guessed Goldfinger.
Right.
So you're kind of asking two questions.
Yeah.
One question is like a 9-point question.
Mm-hmm.
Is a really, really tough question.
Right.
With that additional kind of scoop on the butt, helping you up thing,
it's almost like
now you're at a 3 or 4 point question.
Right. It's almost like a ladder. Like, you can, if you know it, skip to the top, but maybe we're going to build in a rung or two, you know, that you can step on to climb.
Which made me also think that
puzzle ladder,
it would be kind of cool in the future. I don't know, you know, this would be kind of difficult to do, but you know, you play some trivia games that give you a different amount of points dependent on how quick you answer.
Mm-hmm.
And it will give you more and more clues. Buzz Time Trivia does that a lot.
Right.
Where they'll take away incorrect answers or give you hints as time goes. If you get right off, you get 1,000 points.
Yeah.
After the first thing, you get 800. Second, you get 5. Third, you get two,
yeah,
or you get no points. That would be kind of hard to do with how we do it.
The question writing would take like five times as long for each question.
Well, even if you just did like a variation where you had the main question and then one clue.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where it's like, okay, like I said, this question's worth 9 points. If you wait until I give you this clue, then it'll be 3.
Yeah.
And if you don't get it, then you get 0. I mean, it would be very like time intensive, et cetera, et cetera. But
yeah. We actually, related to points, we did have another write-in. We'll get to that real quick. Aaron wrote in, Aaron Peterson, or Aaron Sullivan.
Aaron Peterson Sullivan.
You know, yeah, our Beatles fans and friends.
Yes.
She wrote in asking, what do we think about a confidence point system? Are you familiar with this?
No.
So basically, you get a round, and then you get the categories in advance, so you know what you're going to be asked about. Oh. And then you write down, you get, you know, a 5 point, a 4 point, a 3 point, a 2 point, a 1 point, and you yourself assign the point values based on how confident you are in the answers. So you get 5 points for your most confident, 4 points for the next most confident, and then you're going to mark the least confident answer.
Before the questions
answer.
Are even asked?
I'm not exactly certain, but this is the basic.
So this is how Juan does it.
Okay, yeah.
So what do you think about this? My problem with it is, especially when you're dealing with people drinking, is that there are a lot of people forget when they use whatever amount of points. So they're like, you know, they'll write down 5, 3, and they'll be like, did we already write down 5 or did we write down 4? I can't remember what we used for that one. And it's a little too messy for me.
Right.
I'd rather just assign the points myself. But I have no problem with that. If someone does it, like when Juan does it or whatever, it's very funny because Juan's trivias that he does that I've run for him, people will like have a piece of paper and they'll like jot down how many points they wagered, what their answer was.
They're keeping
double
record.
Check with
They're
it. Counting. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah. Yeah, it would really, I mean, instituting that into the no-nonsense, that would throw off the whole way that I've organized my repo and everything. So I don't really have any plans to do anything like that. But I like the idea of having these other kind of elements involved with it that make it more of a game.
It is cool, yeah, and people kind of hang themselves.
Mm-hmm,
yep. You know what I mean? You use a certain amount of points, especially if you go question by question. You know, you use your 5 points on something that you're using, you know, a certain amount of points for question number 1, and then by the time you get to question number 5 or 6, you may be like, oh, well, if I knew this question was coming,
right,
I would have rated this one 5 because I definitely know it.
Yeah.
As to, you know, you're like, well, I don't know if the questions are going to get easier or harder from here.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely adds a whole new dynamic to it. And it's one that's a lot of fun and one that I kind of missed with Juan's trivia. But it's not something I want to do. I'll just tell you how many points it's worth based on how hard I think it is.
Yeah.
And it'll be easier for me. It's less work.
You can throw your resentment about getting questions wrong to us, the Quizmasters, rather than taking it all on your own shoulders.
Yeah, absolutely.
In that format. Okay, let's go ahead and get into our final questions of the round. If you're enjoying this episode as much as we are, don't forget, go to our Patreon, sign up, and you can get a bonus episode of horror movie questions that I'm going to throw at Mark. Mark,
absolutely.
Yeah, do you want to ask the first one here? Or?
No, I'll have you ask the first one, actually.
Okay, here we go. An ancient, let's see here, what category is this? This is, this would be ancient history.
Ugh,
I know history. I know you hate this one, but this is too interesting of a question to not let go. An ancient mound site that at the age of 5,400 years old predates the Egyptian pyramids and England's Stonehenge. Watson Break is located in which U.S. state? It is an ancient mound site named Watson Break. It's older than the pyramids and Stonehenge. What U.S. state is it in?
Man.
I'd never even heard of this thing before I came across this little tidbit of information.
How old is the Mayan ruins? I know that's not a state, but I'm trying to wonder. I'm kind of thinking that maybe with...
I want to say those are not 5,000 years old. They're thousands of years old.
That's how fucking dumb my brain... Like, I do not know that stuff. I'm trying to think of where in the United States. It just seems like out west is where so much more stuff goes on. Man, Watson Break.
Yeah, the Mayan ruins are about half this old. 2,500 years old, give or take. Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Mayan period was 2,500 years long.
Oh.
trying to find some information on that. 550 BC. Oh, about 2,500 years old.
Okay, I'm going to say...
I guess that means with what I just said that the Mayan period's still going on right now.
Fantastic.
This is why you don't trust Wikipedia for information, folks.
Well, yeah, also when you're speed reading.
Do your due diligence.
I'm going to guess a southwestern state. Because it just seems like all kinds of shit was popping off down there when it was a long time ago.
Which one?
I kind of want to say California because it's so big. New Mexico, Arizona. The thing is California is so slim down there. So even though it's a long state.
It's because there's so many vegans. Oh, you meant geographically.
I'm going to say Arizona.
No.
I'm trying to read your face.
No.
I'm thinking.
Oh.
Well, now I know it's not Arizona. I was going to say Arizona, New Mexico, or California.
What is this trickery? Just say things California. And look at my face?
I'm going to go with California.
No, it's not California. It's not in the Southwest either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's in the Southeast. It is the state of Louisiana.
Louisiana,
that's right.
Holy shit.
So Watson Break, it was just discovered, I believe, in the 80s. So pretty recently discovered, older than the pyramids, older than Stonehenge. And it's been owned by a private group since the 50s. And they do not let people go see it. They've let private archaeologists go in to study it. But you cannot go see it, unfortunately. But, you know, it's interesting to read about. It's very old. It's a ancient mound site, and it's called Watson Break.
Why can't I see it?
Because the land has been owned by a private group since before it was discovered. It was only discovered in the 80s.
So what are they going to do with it? Do they know?
They're keeping it for themselves.
What a bunch of assholes.
There's apparently one member of this group specifically that refuses to sell it or donate it over to the public, basically. So... I don't know. Maybe there'll be an eminent domain thing, you know, and some rancher will get shot and then they'll open it up to the, they'll name the park after him.
All right. What category or subcategory or subcategory do you want your last question in? Since I've got carte blanche.
Yeah.
Here, and I'm just going through my repository.
I'm feeling confident and cocky, which means I'm not going to get it, but give me a music question, Mr. Music Man.
All right, I got just the thing. I got two questions here.
Two? All right.
But I'm going to go with the harder of the two.
Okay.
In what year did Rick Allen, the drummer of Def Leppard, lose his arm?
Oh, man. Super specific.
Is it specific?
I mean, I'm not a huge Def Leppard fan, so I know of this happening.
Well, you
know
it wasn't in the 2000s.
Yeah, that's true.
You know it wasn't in the 1960s.
That's also true. I know it was in the late 80s, early 90s, maybe.
Okay.
I want to say, I know that the Bloodhound Gang had that song where they mentioned this. The drummer from Def Leppard only has one arm. And that was on Hooray for Boobies, I believe, is the album. And that didn't come out until 96 or so. So it's got to be before that. I don't know why I'm feeling... 89 seems too early. 90, 91? That sounds about right. I'm going to say 1991.
You'll be surprised to know it was 1984.
Whoa, okay, so that's way earlier than I was thinking.
Yeah, a lot earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess in my mind it was like they've already had their heyday, but I guess that was before. Like,
yeah, so they actually made, you know, he started using electric drums with drum triggers,
right,
that he would hit with his feet.
Oh, I should have known because they had music videos
that
showed that in their prime.
They put out their first album, I think, with like a Photograph and stuff. He recorded with acoustic drums. And then it was when they started doing Pyromania, maybe, that, you know, I don't know much, but there was Hysteria. Maybe Hysteria is the one where he was using electric drums and blah, 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 blah.
These are albums.
Yes. Okay. But I was, you know, it's awesome that he wanted to stick it out and keep playing with them, and that they wanted to stick it out and find a way to keep him in the band, because a lot of people would just go, oh man,
that sucks.
Bummer. Drummer with one arm. See you later. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and then it created this whole new thing. that they could do.
Yeah, here's a bonus music question for you.
Okay.
Who originated the wall of sound record production technique?
Okay. This would be...
I thought you would get this right off.
Yeah, I do know it. It's, oh man, he's in jail. He was played by Al Pacino in that movie. Is it Robert...
It's Robert Zemeckis.
No. It's killing me that I can't get this right now. The Wall of Sound by...
Were you an Impossibles fan? Did you ever listen to them?
Yeah, I think... Did they have an album called Anthology?
Yeah.
That,
he's mentioned that. in a Impossible song.
Okay. Oh, man. Robert, Richard, break me off a piece of that.
Applesauce.
That's what I'm doing right now. I keep wanting to say Richard Spencer.
Oh, you're so close.
I know. Oh, this is terrible. This is an Ian Fleming moment, except I didn't feel that confident then. But, yep, I'm just going to have to live with the shame of this one. Richard, Robert...
P.
P. Jordan. No, Robert... Just give it to me, man.
Phil Spector.
Fuck, man. Damn.
Philip Spector.
You just had to... You couldn't let me just get one wrong. I had to throw another one out there.
I thought you were going to know that right away, which is why
you're
I didn't
right.
ask
I should
it.
Have known that. You're absolutely right. You tried to save me. I appreciate that. All right. That concludes this episode of the
What
No
an
Nonsense.
Episode,
What
Lee.
An episode. Yeah.
What a fucking episode.
Hit me. Boom.
Okay. Well, I was going to actually hit you, but you... No.
You seem really far away, now. Actually. You're really
I am
far
pretty...
Away.
We are pretty far away.
That concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. My name is Lee Brushnider. You can catch me hosting No Nonsense Trivia Live on Mondays at Three Pepper Burrito Company in downtown Fort Myers, 7:30 p.m. Then again on Wednesdays at Bury Me Brewing, also in Fort Myers. That one's starting at 7. And each and every Thursday evening at Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar in downtown Cape Coral. That show starting at 7:30. Mr. Mark Davis, please tell our listeners where you can be found on Wednesday nights.
Same bat time, same bat channel, folks. Nice Guys Pints and Pies on Cape Coral Parkway in beautiful historic downtown Cape Coral, right across the street from Number 3 Craft Brews and Beer Bar. Wednesday nights from 9 o'clock until 10:30. Come on down and have yourself a good old time.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you had fun. Join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support this podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, nononsense.fireside.fm, and clicking on the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page. After signing up there, you can check out our bonus episode we got today. And you can also write us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia. Finally, don't you forget to rate us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher.
Ooh, you son of a bitch. Don't you dare forget.
Don't you dare forget.
You know what? Friend me on Facebook.
Do it.
Mark Davis, M-A-R-C.
Friend Mark, don't friend me. Don't friend me.
Friend me and send me questions if you got them. Yeah. I don't give a shit. I'll answer whatever.
Do it.
Just, you know, I don't care.
But... Also, don't forget to rate us.
Yeah, but rate us is more important.
On podcast platform.
If you message me, I'm going to say, did you rate us?
Yep.
And if you didn't, then I'm not going to accept.
Sounds fair to me. All right, until next time, listeners, this has been Lee and Mark, and we are the... What are we, Mark?
we're Mr. Surprise. Together...
We're Mr. Surprises.
Together, we are Mr. Surprise.
Mr. Surprise.
Mr. Surprises.